This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of coronoid fractures from the trauma section on orthobullets.com. Starting with a brief summary, coronoid fractures are traumatic elbow fractures that are generally pathognomonic for an episode of elbow instability. Diagnosis can be made using plain radiographs of the elbow, though CT studies may be helpful for surgical planning. Treatment may be non-operative for non-displaced coronoid tip fractures with a stable elbow, and surgical management is indicated for anteromedial facet fractures or fractures associated with elbow instability. In this episode, we will discuss the epidemiology, etiology, relevant anatomy, classification systems, clinical presentation, imaging findings, treatment options, treatment techniques, and complications and prognosis of coronoid fractures. Starting with the epidemiology, coronoid fractures make up about 10 to 15% of elbow injuries. The etiology may vary based on whether it is an isolated coronoid fracture or whether it is a coronoid fracture in association with other injuries. Isolated coronoid fractures, however, are less common than previously thought. More commonly, the coronoid fracture is associated with other injuries. This commonly occurs with elbow dislocation and is associated with recurrent instability after dislocation. The mechanism of injury is commonly a traumatic shear injury, which typically occurs as the distal humerus is driven against the coronoid with an episode of severe varus stress or posterior subluxation. It is not an avulsion injury as nothing inserts on the tip of the coronoid. That said, the important pathoanatomy to be aware of around the coronoid is that fractures at the coronoid base can amplify elbow instability, given that the anterior bundle of the medial ulnar collateral ligament attaches to the sublime tubercle 18 millimeters distal to the tip. The anterior capsule also attaches 6 millimeters distal to the tip of the coronoid. There are four conditions associated with coronoid fractures to be aware of: posteromedial rotatory instability, posterolateral rotatory instability, olecranon fracture dislocations, and terrible triad injuries of the elbow. Regarding posteromedial rotatory instability, this is associated with a coronoid anteromedial facet fracture and lateral collateral ligament disruption. It results from a varus deforming force about the elbow. Posterolateral rotatory instability is associated with a coronoid tip fracture, radial head fracture, and lateral collateral ligament injury. Olecranon fracture dislocations are usually associated with a large coronoid fracture. And terrible triad injuries of the elbow are associated with a coronoid fracture that is transverse in its fracture pattern, as well as a radial head fracture and elbow dislocation. Moving on to discuss some relevant anatomy regarding the osteology and biomechanics related to coronoid fractures, the relevant osteology to be aware of includes the coronoid tip and the medial facet. The coronoid tip is an intraarticular structure that can be visualized during elbow arthroscopy. The medial facet of the coronoid is important for varus stability and provides the insertion for the medial ulnar collateral ligament. Some of the important biomechanical notes to be aware of are that the coronoid functions as an anterior buttress of the olecranon greater sigmoid notch and is important in preventing recurrent posterior subluxation. The coronoid thus functions as a primary resistor of elbow subluxation or dislocation. There are two main classification systems to be aware of with respect to coronoid fractures: the Reagan and Mori classification and the O'Driscoll classification. The Reagan and Mori classification classifies coronoid fractures into type 1, 2, or 3. Type 1 fractures are coronoid process tip fractures. Type 2 coronoid fractures are fractures of 50% or less of the height of the coronoid. And type 3 fractures are fractures of more than 50% of the height of the coronoid. The O'Driscoll classification subdivides coronoid injuries based on the location and number of coronoid fragments, and recognizes the anteromedial facet fractures caused by varus posteromedial rotatory force. On clinical presentation, patients may present with symptoms of elbow pain, deformity, and swelling, as well as forearm or wrist pain, which may be a sign of associated injuries. On physical examination, inspection and palpation should be performed, noting varus or valgus deformity, ecchymosis, swelling, and diffuse tenderness. Range of motion and instability testing should be performed, and you should document flexion, extension, pronation, and supination. Crepitus should also be noted. Performing a varus and valgus instability stress test may be challenging, but is important for an accurate diagnosis. A good neurovascular exam is also critical. Regarding imaging, radiographs should be taken with recommended views including AP and lateral of the elbow. However, note that interpretation of the findings may be difficult due to overlapping structures. Obtaining a CT scan may be useful for high-grade injuries and comminuted fractures. Treatment of coronoid fractures may be either non-operative or operative. Non-operative treatment with a brief period of immobilization followed by early range of motion is indicated for type 1, 2, and 3 coronoid fractures that are minimally displaced with a stable elbow. Operative treatment options for coronoid fractures include ORIF with a medial approach, ORIF with a posterior approach, or hinged external fixation. ORIF with a medial approach is indicated for type 1, 2, or 3 coronoid fractures with persistent elbow instability, in which posterior medial rotatory instability is noted. ORIF with a posterior approach is indicated for olecranon fracture dislocations and for terrible triad injuries of the elbow. A hinged external fixator is indicated with large fragments and poor bone quality or in difficult revision cases to help maintain stability. Delving a little further into treatment techniques of ORIF with the medial approach and ORIF with the posterior approach, ORIF with the medial approach is performed with an approach as a medial exposure through an interval between the two heads of the flexor carpi ulnaris, and exposure more anteriorly through a split in the flexor pronator mass. The technique should be performed with cerclage wire or number 5 suture through an ulnar drill hole for type 1 injuries, ORIF with retrograde cannulated screw or plate fixation for type 2 or 3 injuries, and ORIF with buttress plate fixation or pins and lateral ligament repair for posterior medial rotatory instability cases. The postoperative rehabilitation from ORIF with a medial approach depends on intraoperative examination following the procedure. A thermoplastic resting splint may be applied with the elbow at 90 degrees and the forearm in neutral rotation, and should be restricted to terminal 30 degrees of extension for 2 to 4 weeks. Shoulder abduction should be avoided for 4 to 6 weeks following the procedure to prevent a varus moment on the arm. Regarding early active motion, the dynamic muscle contraction may improve gapping of the ulnar humeral joint after surgical repair. Regarding ORIF with a posterior approach, this technique allows for mobilization of olecranon fractures to access the coronoid fracture with associated olecranon fracture dislocations. Repair of the coronoid fragment should first be undertaken prior to reducing the main ulnar fracture, and then olecranon ORIF with dorsal plate and screws may be performed. Important complications to note regarding coronoid fractures include recurrent elbow instability, especially with medial-sided injuries, elbow stiffness, post-traumatic arthritis, heterotopic ossification, and early failure associated with the failure to recognize and repair underlying elbow instability. The prognosis of these injuries is poor, and complications and reoperation rates are high. Now that we've gotten a general overview of this topic, let's review a few questions to see how this material has been tested in the past. Question 1. A 44-year-old male fell onto his arm and presents to the emergency department with elbow pain, swelling, and an inability to use the right arm. The ED staff place the patient in a posterior mold splint and call after radiographs are obtained. The current images demonstrate AP and lateral radiographs of the right elbow with a fracture of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid. What is the next best step in management? Is it 1. A CT scan of the elbow. 2. Examination of the elbow under anesthesia. 3. Traction views. 4. Continued immobilization and outpatient follow-up in 3 weeks. Or 5. Immediate ORIF of the coronoid, radial head, and repair of the lateral collateral ligament. The correct answer is 1. Obtain a CT scan of the elbow. The patient is presenting with an anteromedial facet fracture of the coronoid due to a posteromedial rotatory force. A CT scan of the elbow should be performed to assess the extent of articular involvement, degree of comminution, and size of the coronoid fragment. The coronoid process is one of the main constraints that provide ulnohumeral joint stability. The coronoid process and the radial head provide a buttress against the posterior displacement of the elbow joint, while the anterior facet of the coronoid process, also known as the sublime tubercle, is the insertion of the anteromedial bundle of the ulnar collateral ligament, which provides valgus stability of the elbow. Fractures of the coronoid process can be either an isolated finding following elbow dislocation or part of a more complex fracture dislocation. This patient had a fracture of the anteromedial portion of the coronoid. Therefore, the medial side of the elbow is unsupported to varus stresses. As a result, the joint line will narrow from lateral to medial secondary to medial collapse of the joint. On a lateral, the crescent sign, which represents the depressed anteromedial facet of the coronoid, may be seen. Steinman reported that with an anteromedial coronoid fracture, the anteroposterior radiograph of the elbow will demonstrate progressive narrowing of the joint space from lateral to medial between the medial trochlea and the coronoid process. On a lateral radiograph, a coronoid fracture fragment may appear small and may be confused with the radial head fracture. A CT scan of the elbow is recommended in all cases of suspected coronoid fractures because such a fracture is readily seen with this imaging modality. Dornberg and Ring reported that coronoid fractures are associated with specific patterns of traumatic elbow instability. They concluded that large coronoid fractures were associated with anterior and posterior olecranon fracture dislocations, while small transverse fractures were associated with terrible triad injuries. Finally, anteromedial facet fractures were associated with varus posteromedial rotational instability. Ring and Dornberg also wrote a surgical technique of repairing the anteromedial facet fracture. They found that fractures of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid may be treated with a plate, a screw, or sutures, and they conclude that the secure fixation of this fragment usually restores good elbow function. Regarding the incorrect answers, answer 2, examination of the elbow under anesthesia, is incorrect, as though an examination of the elbow would likely reveal instability. Given the large fracture fragment on radiographs, this would not provide further diagnostic information. Answer 3 is incorrect, as traction view radiographs are helpful in comminuted distal humerus fractures, but in this patient, traction views would provide little diagnostic benefit. Answer 4, continued immobilization and outpatient follow-up in 3 weeks, is incorrect, as prolonged immobilization of the elbow typically results in permanent elbow stiffness. Surgical fixation of the fracture would be preferable to permit early rehab after a CT assessment to determine the extent of the injury. Answer 5 is incorrect, as immediate ORIF of the coronoid, radial head, and repair of the LCL is the treatment for terrible triad injuries of the elbow. In this patient, the radial head does not appear to be affected. Question 2. When evaluating a fractured dislocation of the elbow, a varus and posteromedial rotation mechanism of injury typically results in what injury pattern? 1. A fracture of the radial head requiring ORIF. 2. Highly comminuted radial head fracture requiring radial head arthroplasty or resection. 3. A medial collateral ligament injury requiring repair. 4. A type 1 avulsion fracture of the coronoid. Or 5. An anteromedial coronoid fracture. The correct answer is 5. An anteromedial coronoid fracture. A varus and posteromedial rotation mechanism of injury typically results in a fracture of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid, which frequently requires reduction and fixation to restore stability. A varus and posteromedial mechanism of injury about the elbow presents with an injury pattern distinctly different from other injury patterns. A key part of treating this injury pattern is recognizing a fracture of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid, which often requires reduction and fixation to restore stability about the elbow. It is important to recognize this during preoperative planning since this injury typically requires a medial approach. Steinman presents a review article describing the coronoid fracture patterns and their mechanism of injury. Dornberg and Ring presented a level 4 review showing that coronoid fracture patterns and their required treatments are predictable based on their mechanism of injury. Varus and posteromedial mechanisms were found to reliably create a fracture of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid and were associated with sparing of the medial collateral ligament and radial head. Dornberg and Ring also presented a level 3 review of anteromedial facet coronoid fractures, and they found that they could not adequately be visualized and treated from a lateral approach, and that they typically required reduction and fixation to restore adequate stability to the elbow. This stresses the importance of recognizing this injury pattern during preoperative planning. Regarding the incorrect answers, answer 1, a fracture of the radial head requiring ORIF. Answer 2, a highly comminuted radial head fracture requiring radial head arthroplasty or resection. And answer 3, an MCL injury requiring repair, are incorrect, as radial head fractures and MCL injuries are not seen in varus and posteromedial mechanisms. They are seen in terrible triad injuries, which are due to valgus and posterolateral rotatory forces. Answer 4, a type 1 avulsion fracture of the coronoid is incorrect, as the coronoid fracture seen in these injuries is an anteromedial facet fracture and not an avulsion fracture of the tip of the coronoid. Last question. A 25-year-old male sustains a closed elbow dislocation after falling during a soccer game. 2 months later, the patient continues to complain of pain and instability. Radiographs and physical exam are concerning for posteromedial instability. Which of the following fracture patterns is most consistent with this diagnosis? 1. A coronoid tip fracture. 2. Coronoid anteromedial facet fracture. 3. Radial head fracture. 4. Olecranon fracture. Or 5. Capitellar impaction injury. The correct answer is 2. Coronoid anteromedial facet fracture. Clinical episodes of posteromedial rotatory instability are most commonly associated with fractures of the anteromedial facet of the coronoid. Coronoid injuries are pathognomonic of an elbow instability event. In episodes of severe varus stress, the shear forces exerted on the coronoid by the distal humerus lead to injury. The anteromedial facet, which is important for varus stability, is subsequently fractured. When combined with lateral collateral ligament complex injuries, posteromedial rotatory instability results. O'Driscoll et al. Reviewed the treatment of coronoid fractures as part of a review on management of difficult elbow injuries. They indicate that anteromedial coronoid injuries are representative of varus posteromedial rotatory instability injuries, and in the setting of coronoid injury, the radial head assumes a critical role in elbow stability. Tajan et al. Review the etiology, diagnosis, and management of complex elbow instability. In their discussion of coronoid fractures, they indicate that identification of anteromedial facet injuries is often difficult and that treatment should be instituted promptly to limit persistent instability and subsequent arthritis. Regarding the incorrect answers, answer 1, coronoid tip fractures, 3, radial head fractures, and 5, capitellar impaction injuries are incorrect, as these injuries may be seen as the sequelae of posterolateral rotatory instability. And answer 4, an olecranon fracture, is incorrect, though large coronoid fractures are seen in olecranon fracture dislocations around the elbow. That is all for this review about coronoid fractures. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or the mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you are not already, please be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.